And knowing that our love is secure in you. Knowing that you know us and yet still choose us. You created us. We walked away from your perfect design. Yet you recreated us through salvation. Because you love us. Thank you, Father. We love you too. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's good to see everyone here today on our Thanksgiving weekend. And we've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Amen. This is a notoriously low attendance Sunday. But what we make, what we lack in numbers, we make up for in size. Amen. We grew, each of us grew, you know, 5-10 pounds. Over the Thanksgiving. I stopped short of gluttony by one bite numerous times. So came close to sin, just didn't cross over. I've yet to have a turkey. I don't know. We did it different. We had fish fry at my house because I needed to get some fish out of my freezer so I could put more fish back in my freezer. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Some of y'all not following me, but even had a fish fryer incident. You might notice my beard shorter. had one of those things. But so thankful. Thankful for all the blessings God has given us. And man, thankful for family. Thankful for you. This morning we got here and the praise team started and our computers all went down. And so the first service, we started off with no music, no sound. And I'm thankful that we have a team that just got to work. And Caleb and Jason, they got the sound system back on. Emily, she changed the lineup. And that's a big stretch for Emily. Emily, boy, she is very regimented. She is very orderly. And so change is not a good word for Emily. And yet she did. She did great. And so thankful for her. And a lot to be thankful for. Want to look this morning at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. You'll notice our sermon title, Attitude Adjustment, usually doesn't mean a good thing. I mean, you have to adjust someone's attitude. Sometimes that's not a good thing. We had two things that we gave our boys spanking for as they were growing up. Two things were direct disobedience and a bad attitude. And I'm not one that finds much with popular media that I can agree with, but there's a commercial out there that says, attitude is everything. And I think that's actually true. Yeah. Attitude is everything. Now, I think the next word's obey your thirst. I'm not sure what that means. But but attitude is everything. So if my attitude is bad, it taints everything. No matter what good comes my way, if I have a bad attitude, it taints everything. But if my attitude is good, no matter what bad comes my way, it turns everything. It can turn the worst of occasions into something good. So we had, the Lord often makes me test that, my sermons before I actually get to preach them. I just didn't know he was going to test that while I got to preach it this morning. As we got here and we had no sound. We had to say, okay, we're gonna adapt and overcome. And so we did. We were able to bring in a little handheld system and work great and thankful for God, his blessings. If we were dependent upon electronics, we'd be in a mess anyway, wouldn't we? And so if your attitude is sour, then it's going to taint everything that you come in contact with. But I want you to look in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Amen. Continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. This year I'm reading the New American Standard translation, the 2020 New American Standard. And here's how it translates this verse of scripture. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. With an attitude of thanksgiving. Experts all agree that thanksgiving, a thankful heart, is the most positive, most healthy emotion that a person can have. Gratitude is the greatest attitude for life change. I want you to just think on that for a second. The attitude of gratitude is the most healthy emotion you could have. Now, you can Google it if you want to. It'll agree with me. But if you put in there what's the most powerful emotion, it may come up love. But the healthiest emotion is gratitude. The healthiest attitude is that of gratitude. Look with me to Colossians chapter 3. When we're talking about attitude adjustment, it is that if I fix my attitude towards gratitude, it will adjust my soul. It will transform my soul. What is my soul? My soul is my thinking, my emotions, and my will. And so if I take and I make the choice to be grateful, that choice to be grateful will absolutely transform my mind, my emotions, and my will. Look with me to Colossians chapter 3. We were just in chapter 4. We're going to back up now to chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. I love Vic Taylor. Vic was my associate pastor. Before he was my associate pastor, he was my mentor. I hated that he passed away. I missed my brother so much. But he loved this verse of scripture, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Vic loved basketball. And though he was much older than me, smaller in stature, I played a basketball game with him one time, nearly killed me. I mean, literally, the guy nearly killed me. I couldn't hang with that guy. And he looks at this verse, and he says, that phrase, rule in your hearts, he said, it's like a referee. It's like a referee in that he blows the whistle and says, out of bounds. Blows the whistle and says, foul. And that the Holy Spirit can give you the holy uh-uh or the holy uh-huh. And maybe you have allowed God's direction and his will for your life, for the Holy Spirit to, Lord, is this your doing? Is this your will? And you get the holy uh-uh. And that's the peace of God. Let it rule your heart. Let it blow the whistle and say, nah, don't go there. That's not my will for you. But sometimes he gives you the holy uh-huh. And so when you look at this passage of scripture, when the Lord let the peace of God rule your heart, you might hear us phrase it this way, I have a peace about that. Or I don't have a peace about that. What does that mean? In other words, there's a disturbance in my soul that I believe is the Spirit of God that says, no, that's not my specific will for you. Or there's a holy uh-huh. And so when you look at this verse of scripture, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, that is probably the most accurate way to see that scripture. But truth has many facets to it. And so I want you to look at this, the rest of the scripture. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. What you'll notice is there is a command in this verse of scripture, that which is active, and then there's that which is passive. So if you look at this, it says let. Would let be active or passive? It's passive. Passive. You're allowing something to happen. So what's the command in this verse of scripture? Be thankful. So we're commanded to be thankful. It's a choice. You don't just allow thanksgiving. You activate your choice to be thankful. Y'all with me? So you make a decision. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. I have an option as to whether my attitude in this situation is negative or positive, I'm going to choose to be thankful. Now, the side effect of that choice, you know, there's a lot of side effects. We mentioned in the first service, I just kind of went off on a little tangent for a spell. Christy and I are noticing that the shows we like to watch puts us in a demographic of people. Apparently we're old. And we can tell that by the commercials. And a lot of AARP commercials. I had my 50th birthday. One of my buddies has a video. If someone's here for that, one of my buddies put out a video saying something about you'll now start getting mail, AARP, man. When I got home that night, that was when I got home, there was an AARP letter in the mailbox. This is confession time. I'm sorry. Just a little therapy for me right now. But we're watching the shows that we watch, and there's all these commercials, and they're all medicines. And it's just like all these crazy medicines. And, you know, the things that it fixes is the list is like that long, and then the side effects are like that long. And just this week, there was some commercial about some kind of medicine, and I told Christy, I said, I would never take that. Because I don't even remember what it said it was going to fix. But the side effects were, if you have pain in your groin, and it just continued on about, if you have discomfort in your groin, if you have a rash in your groin, I said, why would you take that medicine? That's the most horrible commercial. They're not going to sell that product. I mean, but obviously that's the demographic we now fit in if you watch Andy Griffith and Beverly Hillbillies and those. So if y'all now wonder what demographic you're in, just watch the commercials on your TV shows, and you'll know. you'll know. Side effects. The side effects of being thankful is peace. Be thankful, and the peace of God is going to rule your heart. Amen? If you're thankful, if you make the choice, if you make the decision, I'm going to continue with an attitude of gratitude, then there's going to be something that happens in your soul, and that's peace. And who doesn't want peace? Amen? I mean, when everything seems chaos around you, and you just have peace, I remember there was a painting, there was a contest for artists, and one, the topic was peace. And there was some amazing artwork, and there was, you know, beautiful fields, and these nice nature scenes and stuff that just looked peaceful. And then there was the one that actually won was a storm scene. A storm scene. And in that storm scene, there is in like the crack of a rock, a little bird sitting there just as content as it could be. See, peace does not have to be determined by what's going on around you. It's determined by what's going on within you. Amen. I mean, that's enough for the price of admission today, right? I mean, you could go home with that and say it was worth coming. But let the peace of God, you're allowing the peace of God to rule when you make the choice, the conscious decision to be thankful. So we're going to read verse 15 again. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, that word grace in the New American Standard is the word thankfulness. Thankfulness. Give you a little Greek lesson real quick. The word grace in Greek is the word charis, charis. The word gift in Greek is charisma, charisma. Charisma actually means a gift. It's a gift. Charis, grace, charisma, a gift. So you might be familiar with the word, especially if you grew up in a liturgical style church, a Catholic church, a Lutheran church, Eucharist. Maybe you're familiar with the word Eucharist. Eucharist is the word you, meaning good, charis, meaning great, grace. And so his good grace is something to be thankful for. Eucharist actually means thankful. that one word, grace, is in the middle of several words that we use in our English Bibles. And here's one of them. When it says that we are to sing songs, singing with grace in your hearts, singing with thankfulness. I'm just thankful we got to sing in this service. Amen. I'm thankful. And yet, I can just so associate with this in that singing is an emotional thing, isn't it? Singing is an emotional thing. And what is the emotion that this writer is trying to tell us to let this song stir up? Gratitude. Let your singing be one with gratitude. Let's read verse 16 again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. So in three verses of scripture, 15, 16, and 17, in all three verses, it tells us to be thankful. Amen? This is a command. We've been told to be thankful. That's one thing that not only affects us soulishly in our mind, emotions, and will, but also affects us spiritually. It affects us spiritually. It then connects the soul to the spirit, this attitude of gratitude. I want to back up chapter 3, verse 8, and we're going to kind of break this down even a little bit more. But now you yourselves are to put off. Everybody say put off. Put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off. Everybody say put off. Put off. Put off the old man with his deeds. In other words, there's some things we just need to quit. We say quit. And you have a choice to quit. And you need to put those things off. In other words, stop doing those things. And here's the list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, lying. That's what you used to do when you didn't know Jesus. But now that you know Jesus, there's some things to start. Amen? So verse 10, and have put on. Everybody say put on. Put on. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And what you look at, you will look like. Amen. We just sang that song, I just want to be where you are. I just want to be near your heart. The closer you come to him, the closer you'll be like him. Soak that in for a second. The closer you get to him, through the action of worship, the more you will become like him. Amen. Just soak that in for a second. What I look at, I will look like. Y'all know those people that look like their dog? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't know if they look like their dog, so they bought the dog because the dog looked like them, or if they just keep looking at the dog and they start doing their hair that way. I don't know. But what you look at, you will look like. And the more I fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter and finisher of my faith, the more I look like Jesus. The closer I get to him, the closer I be like him. And so that's what this passage is telling us. It put off those things because they don't have any part in your life anymore. But there are some things that ought to accompany your salvation. And we are to put on the new man. Romans chapter 8. No, Romans chapter 12. I missaid this in the first service. Maybe I get it right this time. Romans 12. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body the living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Amen. How do I? He transformed my spirit, but I am responsible for transforming my soul. And the most transformative attitude, the most transformative emotion that even secular psychologists will tell you, the most transformative attitude is that of gratitude. And so when I can't get control of my mind, when I begin to get panicky, when I begin to get fearful, when I begin to think of the worst, when I begin to think of possibilities that could be the outcome of this prognosis or diagnosis, then I need to transfer my mind back into an attitude of gratitude, and he will transform my soul. Y'all with me? How many of you have gotten bad news? Like really, really bad news. We had people in this service and the previous service that the bad news is you're not going to live. You got 3 months. We had one who sat right over there in the previous service. I remember hearing the diagnosis from the doctors. You're covered in cancer. You got 3 months to live. Brother Martin had his Sunday school class pray over him. It goes back to the doctor. They said, there is no trace of cancer. You have perfect health. Amen. Amen. We've had those that received bad news. Maybe you're here in the house and you've received bad news. We had, she's not here in this service right now. We had one who died right there where Miss Barbara's sitting right there in a prayer meeting. We don't have a lot of people die in a prayer meeting. Don't let that scare you off. But Leslie did. And her husband got the phone call. It's bad. It's bad. He had bad news. And he came to find his wife laying dead there. She was actually on the gurney being taken out the church by the paramedics. If he would have dwelt on the bad news, if Brother Martin would have dwelt on the bad news, but you see, if you see everything with negativity, where it doesn't give room for your faith. It doesn't give room for faith. And so we had, he's not here in this service either. We had one gentleman like a month ago on a Wednesday night. He told us, he stood up over there and said, I'm diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. I got word last Sunday, he's cancer free. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, that happens a lot around here. I don't know, if no matter where in the country, if I was somewhere else and I had a diagnosis of cancer, I'm getting to Sand Springs. All right, I'm just going to get a, cancer gets healed here. So, anyway, if I looked at everything with negativity, it doesn't give room for faith. So let's look at this passage of scripture, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 34. The lamp of the body is the eye. So now we're having a science lesson here that all sight is determined by light. If you don't have light entering into your eye, you don't have vision. Ooh, there's some spiritual that goes with that. And if you don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit, you don't have vision. Mm. The lamp, I preached last Sunday out there on the flatbed trailer about the problem with nearsightedness. If all you can see is right in front of me, remember Esau chose the next meal over his eternity. That's the problem with that nearsightedness. If all I can see is right here and I can't see illumination from the Holy Spirit, if I can't have enough vision to see past my nose, then I'm not going to have enough vision to see God. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Now the question comes, how do you look at things? You with me? How do you see things? If you see everything with negativity, that everything that comes across your pathway, you can find something wrong with it, you're not a happy person. You're not a good representation of hope. You're not a contagious Christian. You're someone others want to avoid because you bring them down instead of lift them up. How you look at things. And it's a choice how you look at things. Amen? It is a choice. I cannot determine what happens to me, but I can determine my response to it. It is a choice of how I look at things. If I find the negative in everything and dwell on it, I will be a negative person. I will be a caustic Christian rather than a contagious Christian. The lamp of your body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Therefore, take heed. Warning. Notice that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body would be full of light, as when the bright with a bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Have you ever known those people that no matter how good the situation, they can find something bad in it? And have you ever known those people that no matter how bad the situation, they'll find something good in it? Which one of those people you want to hang around? Especially when things go bad for you. Which ones are you going to call up and say, man, you got something that I don't have and I want to be with you because I need some of your positivity. I need some of your hope. I need to be like you in that area. You know what? The reality of it is, it's your choice. It's your choice. You have an option to be thankful. And that gratitude attitude will transform how you see things. It'll transform how you feel about things. It's weak people that make excuses. Strong people make changes. Amen. Amen. Soak it in for a second. It's weak people who blame everybody and everything for their bad situation. It's strong people that says, I don't like my situation, I'm going to change it. Amen. Now listen to this. It's weak people who make excuses. Strong people who make changes. It's kingdom people who make a difference. You with me? Because now we're no longer looking at me and mine. Now we're looking at how am I going to change the world? How am I going to change my world? How am I going to positively affect not just my attitude, but how am I going to positively affect my family? How am I going to positively affect my neighborhood? How am I going to positively affect this city, this community, this region? That's kingdom-mindedness. Amen. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to do five things. And he said, I believe this is wholeheartedly the Great Commission, the five things that are kingdom. To see people get saved, their souls healed, set free from bondage, their bodies healed, and their lives restored. That's kingdom thinking. Amen. Stinking thinking is, I have a bad set of circumstances, a bad situation. I've had people do this to me. That's victim mentality. You don't understand my upbringing. Not say that I don't care about your upbringing. I'm just saying, it should not dictate your life. You have a decision. You have a choice. You have an opportunity. It's weak people who blame and make excuses. It's strong people who make changes. And it's kingdom people who make a difference. How I view things, the lamp of your body is the eye. How I view things is how I handle things. And that's the difference between winners and whiners. Amen. I apologize to my sons, but I used to say that they were bilingual. They spoke English and whinese. At night, I'd put them to bed and say, good night, you little sermon illustration, you. One of them has to be sitting here now. I preached some of this sermon to him the other night. An attitude adjustment. This attitude adjusts everything in my life. This is one of the most powerful practices for a Christian is to choose gratitude. Amen. How do you start your day? How do you start your day? We need to start our day getting our hearts harmonized to his. If I were here and I had a guitar and I didn't know it was in tune, I didn't know if it were or not, I would have one of the other guitars that was strike a string. Hit a string, let me harmonize mine to yours. Is your heart in tune with his? Well, the only way you can tell is if you've heard from him. You got to hear from him. How do you start your day? Do you start your day hearing from the Lord? Do you start your day in his presence? Do you start your day listening to him and making sure your heart is harmonized to his? And maybe you've recognized that, I have so much negativity. I just feel like I'm critical all the time. Man, I am guilty of this so much. Just know that I preach to myself just as much as I preach to anybody else. And I'll have those moments in which I just feel critical and negative and just that sourness of soul. And you know, the most powerful thing I can do to change that is to choose gratitude. Is to go back to a time in my personal history when I recognized that God heard from me and he answered my prayer. Amen. I have so many testimonies of God doing things in my life that I can go back in my memories and say, I remember when that was an issue and I asked the Lord to address it and he answered my prayer. And thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you know me. And I thank you, God, that you care about me. And I thank you, God, that you work on my behalf. I thank you, God. And when I choose the attitude of gratitude, it changes my soul. And then I can go out and be a contagious Christian rather than somebody that people want to run from, somebody that people want to avoid, somebody that they were having a good day till they ran into you. I want us to be those people who they were having a bad day till they ran into you. Yeah, come on. Amen. An attitude adjustment. It's not about recalibrating somebody's attitude. It's about recalibrating my soul with a proper attitude. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your love towards us. Thank you that even though you know of our faults and flaws, you choose to love us anyway. Thank you, God, that you choose to bless us. You choose to not allow circumstances and situations to determine how you feel about us. It's not our actions that determine how you feel about us. It's about your choice. God is love. You choose the powerful emotion of love. Lord, I pray that we would choose you consistently and constantly. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.